Hi, everybody, and welcome to English Digest. My name is Joe.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today we're on day two of the pamphlets that changed history. Now, yesterday we were learning all about Thomas Paine.
Yeah.
And the impact of a pamphlet he wrote called Common Sense upon the very founding of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
The United States was actually started as colonies, British colonies, but of course they did not remain that way. And part of the influence, the inspiration for the War of Independence or the Revolutionary War in the United States was actually just this little pamphlet written by Thomas Paine and the ideas that he had within them. We're going to talk about another one in France today, written by Emmanuel Joseph Sieyès. And this was another sort of revolutionary sort of document.
Well, you know, if you're going to have a revolution, which is a big deal, that means you're overthrowing your government, you kind of need someone who has some ideas to start the movement. And that's what this Emmanuel Joseph Sieyès did. He wrote a pamphlet called What is the Third Estate? So today's program, we're focusing on the French Revolution, which was very bloody and has some really great stories behind it. If you've never seen the musical Les Misérables, you need to see it because you get a flavor for what the revolution was like. Right now, though, as we always do, we're going to read through our article and then we'll be back to discuss it. Across the Atlantic, Emmanuel Joseph Sieyès' pamphlet, What is the Third Estate?, inspired the people of France to revolt against the Ancien Régime and feudalism, much in the same way as Thomas Paine's Common Sense had done during the U.S. War of Independence. In 1788, King Louis XVI of France announced the convocation of the Estates General, a type of national parliament. It was the first time the Estates General had been convened in over 100 years. Sieyès, a middle-ranking clergyman, took the opportunity to publish What is the Third Estate?, which is regarded as one of the French Revolution's most influential political texts. The main argument in What is the Third Estate is that the Third Estate, the commoners of France, constituted the majority of the nation, did most of its work, and therefore deserved greater political rights. Sieyès asserted that the Third Estate's representation must be at least equal to, or larger, than that of the First and Second Estates, the clergy and the nobility. What is the Third Estate challenged the hierarchy of French society. It was not until the pamphlet was published that ordinary French people realized how parasitic the aristocracy had been and how the Third Estate hadn't been adequately represented. The pamphlet also gave a list of demands that provided a clear motive and starting point for the French Revolution. Like Thomas Paine's Common Sense, What is the Third Estate was written in concise language that made it easy for ordinary people to digest. This played a large part in both documents' popularity and influence. The fact that both documents were made into pamphlets, which meant they were much easier to circulate, also explained their success. Without these two pamphlets, the history of the U.S., France, and indeed the world, would have been greatly different.
So it's interesting to see some of the similarities between these two documents
in
the language, how they were presented, and the impact they had on different places and different times, well, around the same time, almost, in this case. Let's get back to the beginning of the article now, and so this sentence is actually a paragraph. Let's break it down for you bit by bit here. We're saying across the Atlantic. We're moving across the Atlantic because yesterday we were in North America. Now we're going across the sea, across the ocean, in this case the Atlantic Ocean, to France. So often when we describe moving overseas, we'll say across the ocean, across the Atlantic, across the Pacific.
Right.
The British will say across the pond because
yeah.
they have a way of understating things. A pond, of course, is a very small body of water. An ocean is not.
No.
But when we're talking about changing locations overseas, we'll often say across the and then say the name of the particular body of water mm-hmm. that we are crossing. In this case, it's the Atlantic. We've got a writer by the name of Emmanuel Joseph Sieyès. His pamphlet was called, What is the Third Estate? We're going to get into what these estates are a little bit later, but this pamphlet inspired the people of France to revolt. If you're going to revolt, it means you're going to have a revolution. It means that likely the king or the queen or the president or the prime minister is going to be on the way out, or the people are not happy
yes.
about something. They are very dissatisfied. They're angry. And often it means they are ready to get violent in order to get what they want. They're not just going to say, excuse me, please, we're not happy, so please give us this or we're going to be mad.
Yeah.
No, they're going to fight.
Well, they were revolting against the ancient regime or the ancient way that their government or those that had authority over them was set up. And feudalism. Feudalism was the way that society worked in medieval Europe. And the nobility were the only ones who could own land. Nobody else could own property. So if you weren't born into one of those noble families, if you weren't royalty, you had no chance of ever becoming wealthy, really. It was very hard. And if you lived on the nobility's land, you were a peasant, a servant, and everything that you produced crop-wise or with your livestock, you had to give a part of it to the owner of the land, which is the nobility. Well, they were revolting against this, much in the same way as Thomas Paine's Common Sense had done for the U.S.'s War of Independence, or the American Revolution, as we call it.
All right, let's learn more about this time and place in France. What was going on then? It says, in 1788, King Louis the 16th XVI, that's 10 plus 5 plus 1, the 16th of France, announced the convocation of the Estates General,
yeah.
a type of national parliament. So if you announce something, you say something publicly, you say it so everyone can hear it and everybody knows something. Convocation can have some different meanings. Sometimes convocation can mean like graduation. You can convocate from university, and we can say that instead of graduate.
Mm.
Here, convocate, it means kind of to come together. It's a gathering of some sort. This was a gathering together of the Estates General, and this was a type of parliament. Parliament is the organization of government. It's all the politicians, the elected officials, the people who represent the population, who make the decisions, who make laws for the country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was significant because it was the first time the Estates General had been convened in over 100 years. Convene means to come together for a certain purpose, often an official one. You can talk about convening a meeting at work, for example. You can say, we will convene at 10 o'clock. It's a very official way of saying,
yeah.
well, that's when we're going to meet.
Yeah.
But often when we're talking about politicians, we'll say, yes, they will convene at a certain time.
I think that's where we got the noun convention, which a lot of us have participated in conventions. We'll go because our business sends us there, and it's where a lot of people come together and maybe listen to some experts talking about a certain field. Well, they were convening. It's kind of shocking that they hadn't met for 100 years. That's like our legislative yuan meeting every 100 years. Can you imagine? So they got together, and that's when this Sieyès, that's his last name, he was a middle-ranking clergyman. If you're a clergy or you're a clergyman, it means you're some sort of priest, or maybe you're a minister in a Christian church. Because we're talking about France, I'm going to just take a big guess here. It's not a big guess. He's probably a Catholic priest, because most French people belong to the Catholic Church. So he took this opportunity to write down his ideas and thoughts, and he published his pamphlet called What is the Third Estate? And it's still regarded as one of the French Revolution's most influential political texts. if something's influential, it's able to influence or really affect the way people think or feel. Some of the most influential people in my life, of course, were my parents. So you can use it that way. Someone who has a large impact on you. Well, his pamphlet had a large impact on the French Revolution.
Yes, you might be wondering what these estates are, first estate, second estate, third estate. We're going to learn a little bit more about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But this had a big influence. It was an influential political text. So it was talking about politics, about politicians and the way that they affect the common citizens, and it contained some very revolutionary ideas for the time because they were coming out or attempting to come out of this feudal system, feudalism,
yeah,
where poor people, poor families, if you were born into a poor family, as Stephanie said, you would be poor forever, and so would your children and your grandchildren, and
yeah,
there was basically no way out. That would change eventually, in part thanks to this political text. We're going to learn more about it in just a little bit. Right now, let's listen to our Chinese teacher.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是 Alice。今天我们要继续阅读 Unit 11的第二天课程。承接昨天课文的主题，今天的课文举了另一个对历史有重大影响的小册子，那就是 What is the Third Estate？这本小册子激起了法国平民的自主意识，也导致后来的法国大革命。我们看到第一段第一句的中间部分 ，Emmanuel Joseph Sieyès pamphlet What is the Third Estate inspired the people of France to revolt against the ancien régime and feudalism。伊曼纽·乔瑟夫·西耶斯的小册子《何谓第三阶级》鼓舞法国人民反抗旧制度与封建制度，这一句里有一个动词 revolt， 就是指用武力去反抗当权者。revolt 后面常常接介系词 against 来表示反抗的对象，例如 The slaves revolted against their master and took over the plantation。那群奴隶反抗主人，接管了大农场。revolt 这个字也可以当名词用，有造反或是叛乱的意思。例如 The Imperial Army put down the revolt in its colony。 帝国军队拟平了殖民地境内的叛乱。文章的第二段提到 Sieyès 利用路易十四宣布召开三级会议的这个机会来发行他的小册子。我们看到这一段的最后一句 Sieyès, a middle-ranking clergyman, took the opportunity to publish What is the Third Estate, which is regarded as one of the French Revolution's most influential political texts. 西耶斯是一位中阶神职人员，他抓住机会出版《何谓第三阶级》，这被视为是法国大革命最具影响力的政治文本之一。本句的后半部分用关系代名词 which 来引导一个形容词子句，用来修饰先行词 What is the third estate？ 因为先行词是有独一无二的特性，所以 which 前面要加上逗号。这个时候的 which 不可以用 that 代替，这就叫做关系代名词的补述或是非限定用法。另一个常见的补述用法就是先行词是一个完整句子，也就是代替一件事情的时候，which 前面也要加逗号。我们看到本课最后一段的倒数第二句 The fact that both documents were made into pamphlets, which meant they were much easier to circulate, also explained their success. 这两份文件都被做成小册子的事实，意味着他们更容易流通，也说明了他们成功的理由。本句的 which 就是代替 both documents were made into pamphlets 这件事，所以 which 前面要加逗号。我们再举一个例子 I failed the test, which made my father angry. 我考试不及格，这让我父亲生气。这边的 which 前面要加逗号，指的是考试不及格这件事情使爸爸生气。如果不加逗号的话，意思就会变成这个考试使爸爸生气。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you. guys, we're back. We're talking about a pamphlet, this time from France, and a French writer named Emmanuel Joseph Sieyès. He was a clergyman at the time he wrote the pamphlet called What is the Third Estate? And it actually inspired the people of France to rise up in rebellion and to revolt against the current regime. At that time, they, of course, had a king, King Louis the 16th, and they had their revolution a little bit after the Americans did. It was a little bit later. I think people in England were a little bit shocked. England and France and just Europe in general were shocked at how Britain was beaten by this little group of colonists because Great Britain back then, man, they were really powerful. They were shocked at what happened. But what it did was it gave other people around the world ideas of freedom and independence. And that kind of led to this pamphlet, What is the Third Estate, being written, and it had a great influence on what the people in France did. They rose up in rebellion.
Let's learn more now about some of these ideas that were in What is the Third Estate. We learn in our next paragraph that the main argument in What is the Third Estate is that the Third Estate, the commoners of France, constituted the majority of the nation, did most of its work, and therefore deserved greater political rights. So this is the main argument, the main point. In other words, argument here doesn't mean that there are two people and one person believes A and the other person believes B. Argument here means the main point that they're trying to make, the writer is trying to make in the document, and that is that the third estate is the commoners. So we're breaking down people into different segments of society. Commoners just mean the common people, not the rich, not the nobility, but just the regular, everyday working people, or in this case, maybe even the poor people as well. Just the people who have normal jobs, normal lives, they're not rich or anything like that. They constituted or they made up the majority of the nation. Majority means the largest percentage or the largest amount of something. A majority, for example, if you were having an election, would be anything over 50%. If you're voting for one or the other, if there's two. So if you had 51% to 49, 51 would be the majority. Of course, commoners, there was a lot of them. The rich were actually a very small group of people. So the commoners, the regular people, were the majority of the nation. They were the ones who did all the work. They were the farmers, the carpenters, the builders. They were the workers. Rich people, they were just kind of rich.
They didn't do anything.
They just had land. And if you had land, you could just charge people all kinds of money just to live there, just to exist. You could say, okay, you're a farmer, but you're on my land, so I get certain percentage of your crop, I get the money, I get this, I get that. So they didn't have to do anything, basically, except count their money. That's what they did.
Yeah, at least today, a lot of the very wealthy people in today's world, they are busy producing things and they own businesses. But back then, you were born into wealth and you didn't have to do anything. A lot of them would just sit around and play cards and go to parties.
They would travel. They would go on things called a grand tour. They would go around the colonies and say, oh, look at all the poor people.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They had a lot of wealth. It was very, very different back then. And also a lot of the commoners had no education.
They couldn't read?
No, they couldn't go to school. So it was really very, very different. So there was a lot of classes, you could say social classes, and the problems that come with that. Well, what happened was that Sieyès, he is, remember, a clergyman. He asserted, this is what you assert. If you assert something, you say something very forcefully, strongly, you say you believe this. He said that the Third Estate's representation must be at least equal to or larger than that of the First and Second Estates. The First Estate is the clergy. If you were in religion, you actually were in a higher class than just the commoners. They had access to books and education. And then the nobility, of course, is the royal people who were born born into royalty. Representation is when you have people speaking on your behalf. Nowadays, we elect representation from our different cities and communities, and they go to these legislative meetings, and they say, my neighborhood wants this. And they're representing your voice. Well, he said, hey, the third estate, they actually need representation that's equal to or larger than the people in the first and second estates, which is actually a very small group of people.
Now, what is the third estate challenged the hierarchy of French society? Mm. The hierarchy is the way that society is organized. Mm. And in those days, the hierarchy went like this. You had the nobility at the top. And then basically you had everybody else. You had the clergy below that. And the clergy did okay as well. I mean, they had access to education.
Good jobs.
They had good jobs. They were taken care of. Mm. The poor people were not taken care of at all. Their lives were seen as being very cheap. So that was the hierarchy or the organization of society or the different classes of society. It was not until the pamphlet was published that ordinary French people realized how parasitic the aristocracy had been. So they didn't think like this before, or they didn't have access to this idea. They probably never would have thought about this. They probably weren't happy about the way things were, but they never would have thought about doing anything about it. Mm-hmm. Ordinary just means normal or common, the French people who just had normal jobs and lives. But they didn't realize how parasitic the aristocracy had been. The aristocracy were the rich people, the privileged people, the ones with lots of money and power and wealth. They're being described as being parasitic here. Parasitic comes from the noun parasite. A parasite is something that will attach itself to a larger body and just kind of steal things from it.
Like blood.
Like certain insects are parasites. They attach themselves to you and they suck your blood. They take good things from you and they give you nothing back.
That's right.
So somebody who's a parasite is somebody who steals or takes things from others and does not give anything back. And so parasitic describes that. It's if somebody's saying, oh, he's so parasitic, it's a terrible thing to say. It means they take and take and take and give nothing back.
That's right. They use people. When you talk about something being done adequately, it just means it's been done enough. This is, of course, the adverb form of the word, but we'll also use the adjective form adequate. Oh, what I have is adequate. Did you have enough to eat? Oh, it was adequate. Wasn't too much, but it wasn't too little either. It was enough. I would probably say that's a good synonym, enough, adequate, enough. The pamphlet also had a list of demands that provided a clear motive and starting point for the French Revolution. He didn't just state this was the problem. He then went on and said, this is what we want. We want changes, and here they are. If you have a demand, it's things you must have, and you say it very forcefully. If you have a motive for doing something, it simply means the reason why you're doing something. Most of us go to school, and our motive is to get a good education so we can get a good job and we can have a good living. So he actually gave the commoners, or the ordinary French people, the starting point for the French Revolution. It gave them a reason why they needed to act and why they should go forward.
Now, like Thomas Paine's Common Sense, What is the Third Estate was written in concise language that made it easy for ordinary people to digest. If something is concise, it's very short and to the point. It doesn't waste a lot of time. It doesn't need to use very pretty or beautiful words. It's just written very short and to the point. It gets to the point quickly. It was easy to digest. Digest is often used in relation to food entering our bodies, going down into our stomach, and our bodies take the good stuff from the food, and we get rid of the rest. We can also digest information. It just means that we are able to take it in and think about it and figure it out, basically.
This played a really large part in both documents' popularity and influence, the fact that they were understandable, that the commoners could understand them. Now, this meant also that they were in a form that could be really easily distributed or circulated. If you circulate something, you pass it around so everybody gets a look at it. So these pamphlets were in just a great form, and they were easy for people to get their hands on. Some of these things explain the reasons why they were so successful in both the United States and in France. And without these two pamphlets, the history of the U.S., France, and even the world, because of the influence these two countries have on the rest of the world, without these pamphlets, hey, our lives would be different today even, wouldn't they?
That's right. So remember, all the big things in history, they come from ideas, and they come from people taking the time to write them down. So
yeah.
Ideas can be very, very powerful or even revolutionary
True.
Things. We're almost out of time. Right now, though, let's take some time to listen to our Chinese teacher once again.
接着我们看到文章的第三段，这一段在说明 What is the Third Estate 这本小册子的内容，主要是在论述平民做最多事，为国家奉献最多，在政治上却只有一点点的权利。我们看到这一段第一句的中间部分， The Third Estate, the commoners of France, constituted the majority of the nation, did most of its work. 第三阶级，也就是法国的平民构成这个国家的大多数人口，做大部分的工作。这句有一个动词 constitute， 有组成、构成的意思，相当于 make up。如果要表达 A 组成 B， 我们可以说 A constitute or make up or comprise B， 这是用来表示个体组成整体。例如 ，Five musicians constitutes this band， 五位音乐家组成这个乐团。若我们要表示 A 是由 B 组成，就可以说 A consists of, or be composed of, or be comprised of, or be made up of B， 用来表示整体是由个体组成。像刚刚的例句，我们也可以改成 This band is composed of five musicians， 这个乐团是由五位音乐家组成的。文章的最后一段提到，不管是 Thomas Paine 的 Common Sense 或是 C.A.S. 的 What is the Third Estate， 这些小册子之所以会成功，都是因为它们容易流通，而且用简洁的语言来描述重要的想法，让一般平民也有所共鸣。我们看到这一段的第一句有一个形容词 concise， 是简洁易懂的意思。例如 The teacher asked Tom to make a concise summary of his report，老师要求汤姆为他的报告做个简洁的摘要。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢收听。
We hope you've enjoyed coming with us on our journey over the past couple of days through history and learning about pamphlets, tiny little booklets that changed history. So writing doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be in flowery or pretty language. It can just be something very simple, something short and concise, and it can change the world, as we saw with the writings of Thomas Paine and Emmanuel Joseph Sieyès. These pamphlets, of course, they're still available to look at, to read. I've even seen them still in bookstores as well. They're very short. You can probably look them up online as well, just to get an idea of the type of language that was used to change the world. So check that out, and maybe you guys can write something revolutionary as well one day and change the world too. We hope you've enjoyed the program today, and do join us again on the next edition of English Digest. Until then, I'm Joe.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.